Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a great Tuesday out there, everybody. We got a bunch of things to get to this morning. We're going to tell you how you can win some tickets to the Cedar Festival coming up September 16th and 17th. We have our National Day of Calendar we'll get into in a little bit. In 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. 9 o'clock hour, That Ain't Right Stories, Good Stories of the Day. And we're going to try something a little different today, Melissa.
Okay.
We have a story coming up here in a little bit, this hour, called Kids Start to Realize We're BSing them. We're like lying to them at a certain age.
And I wanna, what that age is.
I'm very curious to know, because I know that I don't really have a lot to go on from that story myself. And I'm not sure where you're going to fall on that one. I thought we would take we would reach out to the greatest listeners in radio and open up the phone lines.
I think that's a good idea.
So we'll probably do that after our National Day of Calendar and your news a little bit later, probably 7:30 to 8, somewhere in between there.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So get your thoughts ready on that one, everybody. We want to hear from you about it. It's going to be fun. And we have plenty more to get to this morning. First up, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm pretty good.
Good, good.
I saw an albino deer this morning.
Oh, around here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right over there by the zoo.
There is a family, at least one family, there may be more than one, that lives around this area. I used to see them almost every day around this time of year when I was going into work in the industrial park, whether it was at G&K or at the WFHR, at the old building. It just... I know that it's not the same ones, okay? I'm smart enough. You guys have learned me enough to know that. But I have yet to get used to seeing them.
No,
it hits me every
it's
time.
It's cool to see them. I saw actually quite a few deer this morning. So drivers beware.
Yeah, good call. Good call.
One with a very young fawn, too. I was kind of surprised it was so little.
I don't know if it's something that, you know, when you, because it doesn't sound like you've gotten used to it either. And you've seen them, I would imagine, most of your life or at least a lot of
your. Albino deer?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, really?
Actually,
oh.
No. The first one I saw was around here. It was over on, I'm not going to get the road right. But when you head out of town past the old paper mill and you go over to Stevens Point that way.
Yeah, yeah.
When you turn on that road there by that little gas station, I saw one on that road last summer. And I was just surprised by it.
I know I'm going to sound so city here and so naive. And look, I do that so that you guys can feel smart out there and you can you can help me learn on these things. Is it illegal to hunt albino animals, albino deer? Because I know that there's a lot about an albino white buffalo and a lot of that and everything. So I know you don't.
Well, I would say by state law, I don't think it's illegal. But I would think by the law of the spirits, I would think it's illegal.
I wouldn't feel comfortable. Like,
I wouldn't recommend shooting one.
No, but that's to each their own, I suppose. But
but I don't actually know.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that.
Melissa, good to hear that you were safe and getting in this morning.
Yes,
although
I was safe.
With the deer traction that we deal with out there.
And the fog. There was a bit of fog this morning as well.
Yeah. It's been that way the last couple of mornings before 6. It seems like. It seems to clear up a little after that, but it has been something.
It's because of the temperatures. It's so warm during the day, and then we get the cold at night, and then we're going back to the warm. It's that time of year.
It is definitely something to keep an eye out for.
Mm-hmm.
But we are really excited because we have this fun project going on right now with the Cedars Project.
Yes.
They have a festival coming up, and we've been giving away tickets for it. I wanted to tell everybody about this.
This is a really exciting project. I actually checked it out on the website when I was on the morning show yesterday, and it looks like such a great thing that they are doing over there.
Yeah.
And so this weekend, this September 16th and 17th, they are focusing on community members with artists and local businesses to help grow and build sustainable projects. It takes place in Little Chute on the hillside overlooking Doyle Park and the Fox River. So these tickets that we're giving away, you can go to thecedarsproject.com and look at their their website and their information to find out more about them. But they have pictures of the houses that they have rehabbed and just talking about how this is growing community and keeping things in the community.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting because I've heard a lot of friends like over the years talk about this kind of thing out in California. Not here.
Really?
Out there, out west. And it's never gotten off the ground. It's never happened. They're doing
They're
it here.
Doing
They're
it.
Doing it here. Yes. They're making it happen here. And this is a really cool idea. And this is a great chance and opportunity to find out more about it and also take in some great live local music.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of local bands. 2 days of nonstop great music.
Yes.
Fresh on the Fly, a new food truck in town, will be making pizzas using ingredients from their garden. And a Dirty Laundry Brewing is sponsoring a selection of beers. People are also welcome to BYOB.
Mm-hmm.
Which
is great.
That is very cool. I don't know if I've ever seen that at a concert before.
You can carry it.
Yeah, that's really cool. They recommend that you bring a lawn chair or a blanket to sit on. If it rains, the festival will be moved to the Pavilion in Doyle Park. I've been to Doyle Park a long time ago. Great park. Great area.
I've never been there.
It's a great area. And as Melissa said, you can go to the website to find out more. That's thecedarproject.com.
Cedarsproject.com.
Make sure to get that S in there.
Mm-hmm.
And check that out and be listening between now and the end of the show. We'll give you a chance to win those 2 tickets.
Nice.
Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be fun. Do want to remind you as well today, come out and support the Buckley Baldwin VFW Post 2534 by eating Culver's. Yeah, that's right. We're asking you to eat Culver's. I know how...
Such a trial.
Look, you guys are givers. We know you are. So we're looking for you to really take one for the team here.
You need to sacrifice today.
Our Culver's on A Street in Wisconsin Rapids, some of our favorite people. We love them. Good morning to all of our friends over there. 10% of all the proceeds from both the drive-through and dining-in will go to support the programs and operations of the Buckley Baldwin VFW Post 2534.
Mm-hmm.
As we say a good morning to all of our friends at every VFW out there.
Yes, good morning.
Members will be at the door greeting from 4 to 8 each of the following nights. And September 13th for tonight, we'll say the next one is October 11th if you do want to mark your calendars.
Mm-hmm.
Please stop by, say hello, support your local veterans of foreign wars. Anytime you can do that kind of thing, anytime we have that opportunity to, I would hope that all of us rise up to do so.
Yeah.
And you also...
We made your dinner plans for tonight.
You got it covered. You're set. you're welcome. While you're at it, when you do see those veterans there, make sure to make some eye contact. If you can get a thank you in, that's great. Yeah. Even just a hello is cool, but a thank you goes a long way as well.
Yes.
It doesn't hurt getting that kind of stuff in. Support, encouragement, cost nothing, mean everything.
That is true.
After our show, we are going to be going into Morning Magazine, the first one of the week. We welcome in Katie Wright from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
All right.
Katie's really getting into her groove with this position. She's doing a great job over there.
That's good.
And in part two, one of our favorite shows all month long, Let's Talk Real Estate with Cole Banker, CEO Realtors, featuring J.R. Siebert. J.R. is bringing in a couple friends today. Kim Nichols and David Farnborough.
Oh, really?
Are going to be joining us to talk about an initiative, I believe, with the United Way. So that's going to be exciting. We're looking forward to that.
A lot of good information.
But JR, I can talk to him for days. Kim is a great talker, and David has that voice.
David has
that English voice there that just you can't get enough of. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a fun show today. And we're looking forward to, of course, hearing from you guys, because we're going to talk to you a little bit later when we get to that topic. We're going to bring in your calls and stuff.
Yeah.
Did want to mention, though, heard this weekend from a number of people about Over the Back Fence being moved to Saturday.
Okay.
And have heard some really, really strong positive feedback about that.
Good.
There was at least 3 people that I talked to that have not been able to call into that show for years because they're working at that time.
At work, yeah.
And now that it is on a Saturday, the one lady was telling me she wrote out exactly what she was going to say like on Wednesday or something like that when she heard it was moved to Saturday or something.
Nice.
She wrote out what because she was nervous, so she didn't know exactly. I'll have to ask Seth about that, how that went. But yeah, it went really good. A shout out to Seth covering the show.
Awesome.
We might have a bit of a around robin kind of thing.
We don't want to make Seth work every Saturday,
right? And I mean, unlike me, his kids are kids. mine are in their 20s, and you know, they don't really need to see me all the time,
right?
So absolutely, Melissa, I want him to be able to free. So I also want Don to be able to do the show if he has time and wants to. You know, we've got other people around here we'd like to give some time to. I know how busy you are, otherwise you know you'd be an option as well, but you are booked. So yeah, Seth and I will kind of take turns with it for now. We'll see if Don wants to get in the mix.
Nice.
And we'll have some fun with this. I will say that this Saturday, I believe Seth is still doing it, but the next Saturday on the 24th, I'm seeing?
Yes.
That one I should be doing.
Okay, because he's out of town.
Yeah, yeah, he'll be gone. So, yeah, that's a way to look, kind of get looking ahead here. Nice. You can do us a big favor as the greatest listeners in radio out there. Spread the word about this.
Yeah.
Spread the word that Over the Back Fence has been moved to Saturdays from 11 to noon, leading you perfectly into the Sunshine Polka Show, the greatest polka show of all time, featuring Tim Hubbell.
And since you can plan ahead for Over the Back Fence, send those items that you want to sell. Get those in early so we can get the lineup going.
Yeah.
If you've got community events, things going on, stuff you want people to know about in the community, send those in. We are going to be switching over eventually to our other emails. Mine is melissa.k@civicmedia.us.
Mm-hmm.
I have an email that works.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
I'm very happy for you. Very
you have
happy
no idea.
For you.
It's so great.
Looking at our sports schedule real quick, be sure to join us this Thursday for the Paul Chris Show. Wisconsin Badger head coach hits our airwaves at 6:05 pretty much every Thursday. Friday on our sister station, WIRI, high school football action, as you've got Assumption taking on iScan at 6:50. Our pregame will start. Should be 7:15, somewhere in between there. For kickoff, Randy Paul on the call, Don going to run the board. You know those two know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And on Saturday, Badger football. Badgers taking on New Mexico State. 12:30, our pregame will kick off.
Awesome. And since you brought up sports, we have these awesome fall sports schedules here at the station.
Yeah.
Stop by and pick them up. They're great. Like, I don't know what this is. Probably a 4x11,
yeah,
maybe?
Something like that. Yeah.
Size.
You can
fold it up and stick it in your wallet or your purse, hang it on your fridge, the magnet. It's got all of the local sports games
all
listed.
Yeah, yes. They did a really nice job with
that. They did.
That's
volleyball, boys soccer, cross country, girls golf, varsity football, JV. Ha, that's what that is.
Nice.
JV2, girls tennis, and girls swim and dive are all listed on here, along with the sponsors that put it together.
Come by and pick them up, everybody. Say hi to Pam and the rest of the gang around here and pick one up.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with our National Day of Calendar on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR. Mel and James here with you. We hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday out there, everybody. Let's take a look at our National Day of Calendar, Melissa, for this September 13th, 2022. As we mentioned yesterday, just a reminder, it is National Housekeepers Week until the 17th. Keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Tip your housekeepers.
Yeah. It's also Programmers Day.
Okay.
So yesterday we had a little bit of the tech world, too.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good one. You know, programmers, I will be honest. The first thing I think of is video games. I'll be completely honest about that. But they do so much more than that.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
The way that you are listening to us right now, the way I was able to pull up this web page, the way I was able to go to commercial break just a little bit up ago. I mean, every single thing that I do here is thanks to a programmer, pretty much.
Correct. I have some in my family. They don't always take my calls. When I call them about my computer issues. That's not true. That's not true. He takes my calls every time. I just try not to bug him too much.
Did you try plugging it in, plugging it out?
Did you turn it on and off?
Did you turn it on and off?
Right.
IT
crowd.
It really makes you want to watch the IT crowd.
It does.
It really does.
It does. It's a good day to do it.
It's a very good day.
You can't celebrate a programmer in your life. Watch IT crowd.
I played a programmer ages ago, and I did a little homework because I was out in California at the time, so I got to go to like Silicon Valley and hang out with some of the people down there and everything. And I don't think I've ever felt dumber. I don't think in my lifetime I've ever. The words, I actually asked them at a couple points. I'm like, are you just making up words? Like, be honest with me. Like,
well, the thing is that they don't, some of them, but at least in my experience, they don't do it on purpose.
No.
They just. It's just, they speak a different language.
They literally a different lingo. Yes.
Yeah.
It used to be that way with us, a lot of industries. Now it just seems like kind of select ones, but definitely. Shout out to all the programmers out there.
Whoop, whoop.
a big shout out to National Kids Take Over the Kitchen Day.
Oh, boy.
I just would like to take this moment to wish all the moms, all the dads, all the guardians, all the step parents out there, I wish you well today.
All the dishwashers.
I'm thinking of you. I'm there with you in
spirit. All the kitchen floors, all the stoves. Floors,
yes. How about the ceiling? I mean, let's be,
you know, it gets everywhere. Be real.
I as a kid, I loved cooking, and I think it's a big part of why I love doing it as an adult.
Yeah.
It's a good idea to get kids in the kitchen.
Oh, it's fun. Kids in the kitchen are fun.
Kids like having a job.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, cut the onions. Hey, grind the cheese. You know, whatever mm-hmm. it is. I mean, I can't think of how many different things my Nana had me do or my mom had me doing in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and I miss every one of them.
Yeah.
I love doing every one of them. They were great. It is national. Please let us know how the National Kids Take Over the Kitchen Day goes.
We would. Please send pictures.
We almost skated past that. You guys, we need pictures. You guys got to let us know. You got to share, put them on our Facebook page. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, email us, mm-hmm. james@wfhr.com.
And it doesn't have to include the kids. It could just be the kitchen after they're done with it.
Right. I don't begrudge.
Like a before and after.
Yes. Yes. That's perfect, Melissa. Perfect. Gosh, that's good. Nicely done by you.
Mm.
It's National Defy Superstition Day.
Okay.
It's also Supernatural Day, I see.
So take your pick. You can either walk under some ladders or talk to some dead relatives.
Yeah.
You know, whatever floats your boat.
So with National Defy Superstition Day, this day I feels a little bit it feels a little personal for me. My mother is the most is literally the smartest person I've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
She is a literal genius. Her SAT scores, all that stuff will tell you that. I have never understood how she could be superstitious. Superstition to me is a logical brain, the way my brain works and being scientific and all that.
Right.
I've never
it defies
yeah,
science.
It doesn't make any sense to me or anything. And one of the things that she has done to me, along with giving me a black belt in Jewish guilt, is also I've taken on some of her superstitions.
Oh,
now I've kind of worked out all of them.
Okay,
by basically frustrating a lot of people I work with. I've walked under many ladders. I have said Macbeth many times during the run of a show. A lot of things like that because I feel like they're a little silly and we make mm-hmm. too much of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't begrudge people that have them.
Right,
I will say this. To this day, and I don't plan to do this, but if you knock salt down around me, I pick up a grain, I throw it over my shoulder. It's all because of my mother. My mother did this to me. And I do it every time, and I don't even think about it. So I'm not going to begrudge people if they do these things. I think a lot of it is habit. I would hate to see somebody break a mirror and immediately like feel like the next 7 years are doomed for them. Like, no, man, come on. It's a mirror. It's a mirror. Buy a new one.
Mm-hmm.
But to each their own.
I mean, back in the day, they were super expensive.
Yeah.
So I could see why they would be, you know, putting some big, horrible thing on it if you broke one.
If you like superstitions, more power to you. But today, if you're kind of, you know, looking to push against them for any reason, today's a good day to do that.
Today's the day.
It also, today is a National Uncle Sam Day.
Ah.
Americans and those who appreciate the culture and the history of the United States can enjoy the celebration of this fun and unique holiday. It's time for Uncle Sam Day. The origins of referring to the United States as Uncle Sam go back to the early 1800s, a few decades after the American Revolution was won and the U.S. became an independent nation.
Okay.
The term seems to have started in 1813 and is linked to a meat packer from New York.
Hmm.
And it turns out Samuel Wilson had sold meat to the American troops during the War of 1812, and the barrels were stamped U.S. for the United States. But because his name was Samuel, many soldiers began referring to the U.S. as meaning Uncle Sam's food. And the idea stuck.
Huh. I never knew that.
I heard a little of that. I didn't hear those details at the end, though. That is wicked. That is
that
really
is cool.
That is really cool. Huh. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that
I just thought he was used as a
mascot.
Right.
You know?
Like a mascot on recruitment posters.
Yeah, yeah.
Uncle Sam needs you.
Exactly, yeah. I think a lot of us kind of thought that. I heard a little of this. I never heard the details of that before. Yeah. That is wild. I like that. Huh. Pretty interesting. Let's see here. I mean, the eagle is kind of taken over as our mascot.
Right, of course. That's it's a symbol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But I would say that Uncle Sam still... That still has a place, I would
mm-hmm.
say.
Mm.
As I mentioned earlier, it's Supernatural Day. This is a day to sit back and watch one of the more underrated TV shows of all time. It's a, no, it's not. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, wait, it is about that.
It is.
Oh, I was joking. I really thought it was about superstitions or supernatural stuff, but it is a little bit about the TV show, too.
The TV
show. That's awesome. Look, I admit, it is not a great show, okay? I'm not saying that it's like, you know, Emmy winner or something like that.
It's got a lot of fans, though.
It was a fun, like the first handful of seasons, it was a fun Monster of the Week show with two brothers who had a messed up childhood and just an interesting kind of show. They didn't take itself too seriously. Eventually, it kind of did, but even then, it kind of came back around to kind of being a little loose, a little fun. Just a great show.
I never watched it, so.
You're fine. You're completely fine. If you like Jensen Ackles, I would say definitely watch that show. But otherwise, it's, you know, me and my friend Chris, it was a show that we both got into and we just kept watching it to finish it.
Yeah.
And it was a fun show. Let's see here. There's got to be some other ones. Yeah, I thought so. It is National
Celiac
Disease Awareness Day. I thought that was celiac.
So people with gluten intolerance.
Yeah.
Celiac is an actual allergy.
Mm-hmm. If you're a lover of grains and light breads, cereals, and pastries, then you have a life deeply steeped in gluten. Throughout the world, this includes most people as bread has been in all its forms. One of the foundational ingredients is in most culture diets. National Celiac Disease Awareness Day was developed to raise awareness of the condition that makes the consumption of gluten a painful and harrowing experience, and millions of people who experience it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this kind of society-wise, when this first kind of came up, the idea of gluten and everything got this kind of stigma to it. Oh, it's a fad. Oh,
right.
It's the new Atkins kind of thing or something
did,
like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, new and, fad diet kind of thing.
But I know people who deal with this, and it's there's no fad about this. There's no choice about this.
No,
this is forced on them.
For people who have the disease, that's definitely not an option.
Celiac disease was first discovered by Samuel G. in 1888.
Wow.
A pediatrician who recognized that the symptoms he was observing were all tied to the diet of his patients. That's pretty interesting, actually. In 1888.
It is, and I don't think that, well, at least in my experience, we'll just, because I'm no expert in this, but in my experience, there are a number of doctors who don't talk about diet as much as I feel it should be talked about. Oftentimes, we want to just throw a pill at something instead of examining what we're putting in our body that is causing problems.
Mm.
For people with celiac disease, gluten is one of those things.
Yeah.
For others of us, it could be a number of other things. And whether it's an intolerance or an allergy or it's just something your body doesn't, you know, process very well.
Yeah.
It's good to look at those things every now and then.
Definitely. It's National Fortune Cookie Day. Many Americans who eat at a Chinese-themed restaurant in the U.S. tend to receive a fortune cookie at the end, making them associate this tradition with Chinese culture. However, the actual origins of this delightful treat can be traced back to Kyoto, Japan in the 19th century before making their way to American culture in the 20th century.
Really? I didn't know that either.
Kind of interesting.
I like that they are starting to become, and maybe it's just the ones from the restaurant in Toma, but they're very snarky sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like just, they're funny.
Yeah.
Or just really random.
National Positive Thinking Day.
Good day to think positive.
And thinking positive doesn't mean that you spend the whole day thinking of sunshine and rainbows and unicorns and everything.
I mean, you could if you wanted, but you don't have to.
Yeah, it seems kind of tough actually to do that. But good luck.
Just constant picture of a rainbow in your head.
Yeah. When you are feeling rough, when you are feeling down, when you are feeling less than positive, carrying on and pushing through. Having perspective can be a big helper in this.
Finding those silver linings.
Silver linings are one of your best friends.
Yeah.
They will go a long way
because
with you.
Because in every bad situation, you can look back at it and go, okay, but what did I learn? What was positive about this?
I genuinely believe that the universe always puts you right where you're supposed to be. whether that is it is a good moment or a bad moment, that's where you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You're there for a reason. Maybe it's to learn something. Maybe it's just to have a good moment. Maybe it's to
help somebody else.
It might not even be about you. Yep. But there is something to that, I genuinely believe. Mm-hmm. And you can take something from everything. You truly can.
Yeah.
As somebody who has had an extremely difficult life, I will tell you, you can definitely take something from everything. There is always a positive lesson or a positive mm-hmm. moment or right around the corner. Sometimes you just got to make it to that moment.
Right.
Ronald Dahl Day. Ronald Dahl, James and the Giant Peach, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Fantastic Mr. Fox, Matilda, and BFG. Many of these should sound familiar to quite a few adults, as well as children of many ages, as we celebrate the great author, Ronald Dahl.
I really liked James and the Giant Peach. I enjoyed it a lot. And of course, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Who doesn't like that story?
Classic. Mm-hmm. But James and the Giant Peach was one of my... my sister and my brother loved that movie, and they would tease me with it.
What?
And I don't know what they were thinking. They were little kids.
Okay.
And they were trying to tease me as a teenager. Like, hey, you got any peaches, James? Hey,
oh, because
like,
your name is like James?
Yeah. And I was like, you guys, this is not like hurting
my... It's
not
my, a funny
like,
joke.
Like, yeah, but they'd laugh their tails off at this. They thought it was hilarious. National Peanut Day.
Yay.
I like peanuts. Peanuts are great.
Peanuts are great, unless you're allergic.
Yes, yes.
Or you have diverticulitis.
Or you try to kick a football. And Lucy pulls it from not those kind of peanuts.
Or that too,
got that
yes.
mixed up. Sorry about that. Okay. Peanuts are good though. I like peanuts, and I think that even though I do not eat as much peanut butter as I used to, I still believe that half my body weight is still peanut butter from my youth. I ate that it's much possible. Peanut butter as a kid.
It's possible.
And it's International Chocolate Day.
Oh, yum.
Well, thank you, combo. Chocolate. Yes, I was thinking the same
chocolate
thing.
Chocolate and peanut butter? Chocolate and peanuts? Who doesn't like those?
Get some Reese's? Yeah, maybe? Something like that? Yeah. While there are many, there may be a few people in the world that don't like chocolate also people who can't eat chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
For those of the world, chocolate is considered to be a delicious treat.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, if you need an excuse, today's your day. Chocolate plants have probably been on Earth since the dawn of history, but it wasn't until around 4,000 years ago that the Olmec people of the Mesoamerica, present-day Mexico, began turning cocoa beans into a beverage. At the time, drinking chocolate was a rather rare and special delicacy that was used in cultural rituals as well as for medical purposes. I'd like some chocolate milk for medical purposes.
Right?
That sounds pretty good to me.
Take my medicine.
Boy, if there was a virus, a disease, or an illness that you had to take chocolate milk to get better from.
Or just chocolate.
I would be mm-hmm. one of the... I'd be horrible. Like, the doctors would just eventually be like, James, no, we're not helping you anymore. We know you're just asking for... All right, but doc! No, we're done. We're done. You got to learn your lesson. We're going to take a break, play some of Melissa's news. When we come back, kids start to realize we're full of it around what age? Melissa and I are going to dive into the topic, and then we're going to take some calls from all of you. If you feel like calling up, 424-2600 will be in the number. We'll get to that when we get back on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you're having a good Tuesday out there, everybody. Be safe out there, everyone. Be good to each other. We're going to have some fun right now, Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
It is 7:41 on the clock, and we're going to dive into a topic here. Melissa and I will talk about it a little bit, and then we're going to open up the phone lines to all of you. 424-2600. Be on your best behavior. And be ready to call up and join us on this topic. You got some feedback on this one? We'd love to hear from you. A new study at Harvard and the University of Toronto found kids can already be skeptical and start to question us when they're as young as 4 years old. All the parents of four-year-olds out there and younger are like, yeah.
Obviously.
Water is wet also. Did you guys know that one? Yeah. Then they really start figuring out we're full of it around age six.
Yep.
Researchers told obvious lies to a bunch of little kids and tried to convince them that they were telling the truth. For example, they'd show them a rock and claim it was really soft. Then they'd leave the kid alone with the rock to see what they did. Older kids were much more likely to pick the rock up to see if the adult was lying. 4 and 5 year olds sometimes did it too, but not as often. So be careful the next time you tell an obvious lie to a child who is older than that. They might call you on it. I never had this with my mom and dad. My mom and dad, like from the get-go, I'm thinking that most of the little ears out there are in school right now. So if they're not, earmuffs right now.
Or getting close to being in school.
Yeah, earmuffs, because I have a spoiler alert here. But I never believed in a certain guy that shows up on the, you know, at the end of December, mm-hmm. or a bunny that kind of drops some stuff off for you. Like, I didn't grow up believing in that stuff. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my parents' fault. I was too serious of a kid. Hmm. I didn't even give them a chance. Like, my mom and dad had my brother and sister, I think, just to know what it's like to have an actual kid.
Mulligan on this one. Can we just try again?
Really? I mean, really, they had no luck. do you remember? I mean, we were so young when this stuff happened, so it's pretty hard to remember, but...
Well, you know, there are... I think... If anybody has an uncle, this is where you learn that not everybody is completely 100% truthful with
right.
you.
Yes,
because everybody has that uncle that comes up and you know just yes. tries to pull the wool over your eyes,
yep.
and help you learn about the world.
Yep.
That not everybody's truthful.
I would say my Uncle Butchie maybe, but maybe my Uncle Ed a little bit too. Yeah, completely agree.
You got to have that person. And even if it's not your actual uncle, you know, like a family member that's so close that you're
right.
hang out with them like you would an uncle.
Now, what about, because I'm looking at this from two angles here, obviously the from a child's eyes or and such, but also as a parent, like... I remember when we found out my youngest Isabel was lactose intolerant, and trying, these are the earliest 20 years ago or whatever, when they had basically none of these milks out there,
mm-hmm.
but it was like an almond milk, and
yeah.
She looks at the cereal bowl that her brother is drinking, and it doesn't look the same as her cereal bowl. And the greatest acting performance of my life was taking a bite of that cereal and looking,
pretending it was good.
And I'm a good actor. I'm not saying that egotistically. I've worked very hard to earn saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was putting on an Oscar-winning performance in front of this little kid. She didn't buy a second of it. She still took a bite, but I think she took a bite because she was being a good sport about it.
Right.
I don't think it was because I convinced her. I wonder how often we're telling kids something and we think we're doing them a favor. We think we're doing right by them or mm-hmm. something. And they think the same thing to us, whether it's like, subconscious or not.
We're just going to go along with this because dad's saying it. And, you know,
I know that they do this. I'm positive they do. I just don't know how often they do. I don't know how often or what things they do.
Well, I suppose it depends on how often you are telling them, you know, a falsehood,
right.
or
well,
telling them something
point.
That, because that is something too. Like what is their environment like? Do they have people do this to them all the time? Well, then they're going to be skeptical.
See, I never, and a reminder, everybody, the phone lines are open, 424-2600, to join the conversation. I don't think I've ever really thought of it this way. I think part of the reason that I have such a good relationship with my mom and dad is that they were so honest with me.
Yeah.
I think some people might say that they were too honest in some ways. I don't agree with. For me, in this particular circumstance, with the child that they had, again, Jimmy Sirius here, came out the womb as an adult. I don't blame them. I think that it worked out. I know that as a young man, I was able to talk to my parents about stuff that I know my friends weren't necessarily comfortable talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of those situations as a teenager and even as a young a man at like 19, 20, things like that. So,
yeah. Well, it makes a difference building those relationships with parents. But when kids are really young, I mean, look at the things that we do to children that are, in some cases, you know, maybe perhaps falsehoods.
Yeah.
With imaginary characters or things of that nature. And that's widespread across our culture that's okay and that's acceptable. Except for if you're in some religions, like how
right,
I was raised,
right.
where then that was taught that, no, this is a falsehood. Mm. But we were taught other falsehoods and presented as truths. So, you know, there's a lot of gray area there.
Yes.
And it's up to parents to decide what they do and don't want to do until they're a certain age.
And you just hit it on the head. It's a parents, each individual parents, their set. It's a different set of rules for every set of parents. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that are pretty universal. You don't hurt your kids. Right. Like, you know, certain things.
But don't harm them.
Right. There are other things that are certainly case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. And I think that I would be hard-pressed to imagine that most parents, if they are, quote-unquote, lying to their kid, aren't doing it out of a genuine, you know, protective nature or caring nature or loving nature. Or, you know, whatever the above. I mean, what is one of the things that we realize as parents earliest on? Man, they sprouted up so quick. They grew so fast. We want our kids to be kids as long as possible, to enjoy youth as long as possible, to enjoy the innocence of being young as long as possible. We know that society, that gets harder and harder as we go along. So if it means, you know, lying to your kid about somebody, you know, coming down the chimney in December or something like that. I mean, or certain things. Mm-hmm. I don't begrudge people that. I wouldn't ever want to take that away from people. I can see where I could see all the angles on this.
Yeah, because there is a certain point where you got to prepare your kids for life.
Right, and that's something that is our really, outside of protecting our children, is one of our main jobs. Mm-hmm. You're not doing your job as a parent if your kid never wants to leave the house and wants to live with you for the rest of their life. Like, that ain't a good maybe teach their own if that's your thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's necessarily healthy or what we're trying to do. Our job is done if that bird can fly out the nest on its own.
Right.
And that is one of the hardest things in the world to do, literally one of the hardest things in the universe to do, is let the idea of your kid, especially whatever age they are right now, looking at them and thinking, God, they're going to be out of the house. I'm just thinking about it right now. My own kids, they're in their 20s. They're off
they're
doing their own
out of
thing
the house.
Right now. And it made me, it like got my heart, my heart in my throat for a second there. So,
but I think it's also a good reminder to parents that you are only human too. And it's very, very possible that your child will need therapy someday for something that you did.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
If all of us look at ourselves and think about our parents, yes, because no matter what you do in life, you cause sometimes I don't want to say harm, but unintentional consequences for things you say or things you do.
Complete side note, I would like to take this time to apologize to Bria Ann, to James Cavan, and to Isabel Raid, my children.
And he has started a fund for your therapy.
Yes. It's only like a quarter full, but it's getting there. It's getting there, guys. Just hang in there.
I bring him a penny every day.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun. Wrap up the hour on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR. Locally grown radio, 7:52 on the clock. We hope you're having a great Tuesday out there, everybody. Melissa and James here with you. And I wanted to dive into this one, Melissa, because this is kind of interesting. Kellogg's is up to something, and they've been really busy this summer and really into going into early last year. They've been doing different things and trying to do some different stuff.
Really?
Not necessarily for any rhyme or reason other than just trying to do different things, because Kellogg's is doing just fine as far as I could see from the data. I looked into it last night just for the heck of it, and yeah, they're doing okay. Kellogg's is doing just fine. So it seems like they're doing these things more out of creativity or just trying to, you know, reach a different audience, a lot of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Kellogg's unveiled new single-serve containers of cereal called Insta Bowls that require you to just add water. There's powdered milk at the bottom, so you fill each one halfway with cold water to make it liquidy. I love that liquidy is a word,
liquidy,
by the way. Yeah, that's they're doing a test run at select Walmarts and plan to sell them nationwide through Walmart.com soon. Each bowl costs $2, which is way more than a normal bowl at home costs.
Yeah, no kidding.
So they think will pay extra for the convenient on-the-go aspect.
Some people would.
Yeah. Powdered milk has been around since the 1800s, so it's not clear why they've been sitting on this idea. They've got four varieties to start: Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops, Apple Jacks, and Raisin Bran Crunch.
Okay, but is it just regular milk?
Yeah, probably. let's be honest, probably.
Yeah.
You know,
to start.
So they've already knocked out a good 25% of their market.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more, probably more than that. I'm probably lowballing it. I should probably at least say 40%, but 30 to 40, we'll say, by doing that. That's to every business out there. Like every business going forward here. I don't even know the point of releasing something if you're not going to release a non-dairy version, if you're not going to release a this version or that version.
I mean, it's possible that they're doing this as a test market. If it goes well, then they probably will expand into the non-dairy aspects of it, which, I mean, for them to even see if this is viable is probably smart. Start a little small.
Yeah.
Because to have a true non-dairy option, they can't produce it in the same area, because I mean, think about powder.
Right.
So they have to have a separate area to produce the non-dairy powdered milk version,
which they may work around
with different packaging.
It's whatever you think about it, sitting there at home or in your car or at work or whatever, listening to this, you know, shaking your head, I don't know if they need all those or anything like that. What business model would not benefit from having more options? If you're an ice cream shop and you serve chocolate ice cream, that's great. There's people out there who don't like chocolate. Why would you not serve vanilla, strawberry, you know, all these other ones and everything? it makes no sense.
Well, it's especially for a big company like Kellogg that can't afford it. Now, if you're a tiny, just starting out, offering three options of ice cream over 20 is going to be smarter cost-wise for you. Yes, but are you going to get the market that you want?
It's a very fair point. I'm thinking of these big businesses like a Kellogg's or something. On that level, you're absolutely right. You got to really choose your battles wisely in those situations.
Well, and another thing to bring up is the scarcity of some products going forward. We talked about chocolate this morning.
Mm.
Chocolate is under threat.
Yeah.
We may get to the point on this planet where we no longer have chocolate.
Man.
You want to know another product that is under threat? Avocados.
Yes.
Yeah. They have been over-farmed, and with deforestation and the issues with shipping them all over the world, restaurants are finding other options to make guacamole.
Yeah.
I mean, this is becoming a reality. So we need to look at other options and be willing to try other things. I found a really good recipe I really want to try to make guacamole with peas.
With peas?
Yes.
Huh.
Sounds pretty good. And I like peas. They're very good for you, full of fiber. Mm-hmm. They grow here in our state.
I'm curious to see how that turns out.
Yeah, me too.
I think with any of these things, it's important to kind of, you know, have that perspective that you're talking about there.
Got to keep an open mind.
And I mean, also, to like, there was a point, I remember, I can't remember actually when it was, but I remember seeing somebody for the first time pulling out the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches you could buy.
Oh, Uncrustables?
Yes, Uncrustables. And looking at this thing and thinking how ridiculous that is. Like, you just make a sandwich at home. Why don't you just make your own peanut butter and jelly sandwich or whatever?
Convenience, man.
Convenience, yes. And I remember thinking, seeing that, I could not be more wrong about this. Like, that is going to do fine. I actually thought it would do better than it did, but they still sell them, I believe. They're still popular.
They offer them at schools.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You can get them on the, like, a la carte line at schools sometimes. And for busy parents, like, convenience is king.
Yes.
If they can afford it, convenience is king.
Yeah, that's a big catch right there, that when you can afford it, too. Because as we know, the price of everything has gone up.
The price of that is $2 for a bowl. And if that's a single serving, I mean, think about that. In a box of cereal that can cost anywhere from $3 to $5, I mean, how many bowls of cereal do you get with that?
Right.
A lot more than one.
We are going to take this right at the top of the hour and go to CBS News. When we get back, we're going to get into our opening segment, five things that should be on your resume and shouldn't be on your resume in 2022. We're going to go over that together. And we will also, of course, have Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club. We're looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. A little bit later, the best cities to visit if you're a beer lover. And I feel like, Melissa, that is a topic to hear from our audience about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I think...
I think some of our listeners like beer. I think I can bet on that.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say a handful do. A couple of them do out there. Just
at least three
or
four.
Maybe one or two. We'll get into that a little bit later, too. Maybe 9 o'clock hour, we'll touch on that one.
Okay.
Also have a little entertainment news. We also want to get into some good stories, then a right stories, and some really good stories of the day that I'm really excited to talk about. A large study of older adults shows people over 65 benefit by staying active. We're going to talk a little about that. So that's all coming up for you. Looking forward to it. And, of course, we've got the Cedar Festival with the Cedar Project.
Yes, the Cedar Project.
We've got those tickets we're going to be giving away. Be listening for those and plenty more. Got so much to do. How are we going to fit it into a three-hour show? Find out as we come back here on Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio.